Hallelujah. Come on and give him some more praise this morning. I was listening to Pastor this morning as he was encouraging the workers in the workers' meeting, and he was talking about various things. And one thing that's beginning to stick out as God has been moving with us with this church is that God is trying to take us to new places.
All right.
Okay. Not that the old ministry didn't have access to it, but every person that God leads is a little bit different. And it's not to push away the old thing, but God has a way of emphasizing what he wants and where he wants to go with it. And it's up to the individual to yield themselves to it, to go where God wants to lead. Because a lot of folks get stuck with tradition. And when man enters in with his tradition, what it will do, it will blunt the move of the Spirit. So, Pastor Gardner can't be Pastor Hart. He has to be Pastor Gardner. A lot of folks thought that when Pastor Gardner took over, what it was going to be a melding of what Pastor Gardner is and what Pastor Hart was. And when it didn't happen that way, they weren't happy about it. Go to the book of Matthew this morning. We're going to be in the 11th chapter. So what happened was you begin to see a rejection taking place. Now what we're going to look at here is a different type of thing, but what God has also in it, God has some things in this for us. Now, Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we're going to start at the 25th verse. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. What was going on, a rejection had just been taking place. The king had come unto them and they had rejected the king. Now here's something you all know. The king sent a forerunner or a herald or an announced person before the king came, and they rejected him too. Jesus began to talk about John the Baptist, who was the forerunner. And if you know anything about prophecy, he was the one that was going to, he was Elijah that come back. Okay? And they rejected him. Now, what did they say about John the Baptist? They said that he didn't eat and drink with people, so that's why we don't want to have nothing to do with him. He don't want to sit down and eat. So here comes Jesus. Jesus comes along and Jesus sits down and eats and drinks with everybody. And guess what? We don't want him either. So when people want to find a way to reject something, they'll use any excuse that they can come up with in their human thinking to reject it. And it's the word of God. And he's saying that at that time, the time of his rejection, Jesus answered, or he prayed and said to the Father, he said, O Father, I confess to thee that thou hast hid these things, that thou art wise. I openly confess to thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things. And the reason why they are hidden is because man had purposely rejected. Jesus came and he spread his gospel to all. But those that found ways to reject, same things going on here. And a lot of Christians figure they can get it their way. Reminds me of this story I was watching. The master of the house came home and the servant was telling him what was going on and that somebody was going to come and visit him. And And the master said, well, that's a pity. I won't be here. He said, I'm gonna be someplace else. And the servant began to question him. It's like, and the master began to look at him like, you know what I do and you know what's going on. So the servant began to question him further. And all of a sudden the master said, you know what? You have the most annoying way of getting things confused. I am not beholden to you. You are beholden to me. And don't forget that. We're beholden to Christ, okay? The way he wants to give us what he wants us to have and who and the person that he wants to give it through, that's his choice, okay? It's not ours. So we're to accept what he has for us and make the best of it. And remember that. We tend to think that we have a say in it. Now, once again, Jesus is saying, he's confessing to the Lord, the heaven and earth, that he hid these things from these people, these wise ones, these people who are wise according to their own knowledge. They're prudent in their own eyes. And he said he has revealed them unto babes. He's revealing these secrets unto babes. And he looked at the word babe. I was talking about infants and minors. And then I began to think about it. Why did he reveal them unto babes? When you look at babies, toddlers, and I've had a little bit of experience, especially in the last few weeks, they're curious. Babies are curious. I was walking around the workplace and I was looking at things that I might have to fix, and all of a sudden I was looking up at a ceiling fan, the lights on. And I noticed this little kid, he was about 2 or 3, he was with his grandmother, and he just walking all over the place. And all of a sudden, I'm standing up there looking up, and I just happen to look down. And he's there standing with me, and he's looking up at the same thing I'm doing. He's looking at like I am. I didn't say nothing to the little guy, because I noticed how children are. A lot of times when you begin to say something, now they want to get bashful and they want to hide. So I leave them alone. But they have a natural curiosity, and they will gravitate to you at their own accord. Yes. I use Trinity, for example. When I met Trinity, the only thing she used to do was look at me. No expression, you know. And a lot of folks want to go and grab the baby, and you won't make the baby love you and like you. Kids not studying you. Right. All you're going to do is make the baby yell and scream. So I let them come on their own accord. So she looked at me for a couple of weeks, just looked at me. One Sunday after service, she looked at me and smiled and started running. She wanted me to chase her. Children have a natural curiosity, and that's what Christ is talking about. We are supposed to have a curiosity about the things of God. Amen. To accept them the way God wants to present them to us, because he is the one who did all the work. He's the one that made the plan from the beginning. He's the one that has all knowledge, and he knows what's right and what's best for us. So we're to accept it. We're to have that curiosity. Amen. One thing when my dad got saved, God told him, he said, keep an open mind. Because you're going to encounter things in the things of God. Some of them are going to be by tradition. And when God breaks out of that tradition, you got to follow him out of it. You got to follow God out of it. God here is moving in this place in a different way. With Pastor Hart, it was a lot of miracles. The word was going forth, but it was a lot of miracles and things. But the word of God began to wax, and it began to wane. In other words, the doctrine and the instruction, we began to get away from it. When God began to reestablish this place with the remnant, he began to use doctrine and instruction. Amen. That's why he's talking about the secrets here. The secrets is the doctrine and instruction. The secrets are the wisdom of God. This is what's going to help you get up. We look at Israel in the past. Israel is our example. When Israel did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, they were very successful. When they got away from the word of God, that's when things began to go to pot. Right. Yeah. And it's the same thing with us. They're our example. Then God is showing them. Simply. when you follow the word of God, when you follow the doctrine and instruction, you will be blessed. You will find the things that God has for you to find. When you don't, God's not studying you.
Amen.
He's not. God showed me in the program I was watching, I'm not interested in your life when it comes to my word. In other words, I'm not going to deviate from my word for you. So you better follow along, okay? Because once again, he's not a cruel God, but he's like our parent. Our parents knew what they were doing. They knew how they wanted to raise us, and they stuck to it. But most parents back in the day, they stuck to what they were doing. Okay, they didn't depart from it. These folks nowadays, it's here today and gone tomorrow. Okay, it's inconsistent. God is a consistent God. So he, once again, he's saying that he has hid these things from these so-called wise ones and has revealed them unto us. 26th verse, it says, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. It became well pleasing for you to do this. Now, the one that rejected is saying, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth the Son but the Father, neither any man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Amen. In other words, there's only one way to come to God, and that's through Christ.
Yes.
There's only one way to know Christ, to know him fully, is to accept Christ as he is, as he presents himself. One of the things, Jesus was multitasking when he came down to the earth. One of the chief things that he was trying to get his people, Israel, to know was to know the Father. So he came and presented the Father because he knew the Father. He just said it here. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son. So I'm going to introduce the covenant God that you guys said that you were serving for so long. I'm going to show you what he is. I'm going to tell you what he is like.
Amen.
I'm going to lay this out for you. Well, they didn't like it. They didn't like him or the forerunner. John the Baptist, who was telling them to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They didn't like either one of them. Once again, we're not to choose out how God is going to perform his word. We are to take it as it is and begin to use it.
Amen.
Why? Because God has good things for us when we do that. Now, once again, he said, all things were delivered unto me by my Father. No man fully knows. We can't fully know the Father, except the Son reveal it. That's why we have to get saved, so that you begin to know. Because guess what? A lot of folks have knowledge about God, but there's no transformation. I was telling folks, I was on the bus and I was listening to these individuals had this conversation, and they were talking about the flesh and Adam, and I was like, wow, he's really got it up, got this down. But then they begin to cuss, and I'm like, wow. The flesh just but blankety blank that. And you know that Adam dude was a dirty dude, but blankety blank this. I'm like, oh my goodness, no transformation.
Right.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the word of God is from. So that we are transformed from what we were into what God wants us to be. But it only comes through the wisdom of God. It's not going to come from any man.
Right.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Not going to come from, I call them the infomercials. I mean, you look at the programs that are on Christian television, and you can't tell the difference between what they're selling on that and this new guy who's selling this new pot that he wants you to buy. Because you got to wait till the end of the broadcast to get what you hope to get what you need. God has put the word forth. That's why you have to study this word. You've got to open it up for yourself. It's like eating. Nobody can eat for you. I like Martha Bates, the way she can cook them cakes and all of that stuff and various ones. But that don't help me get full by watching what Martha's doing or any of these other folks that cook.
Yeah.
I've asked this question before, I'm going to ask it again. If our physical weight had to depend on how much word we consume, how healthy would we be? Would we be as big as we are, you know, individually? Or would the ambulance be coming up back here in the back, hooking us up for malnutrition? So you've got to ask yourself that. So once again, God has given all things to the Son. The Son has come and present himself to us and is now in us to reveal the Father to us so that we know exactly who and what God is like. Come on, give God some praise. God will reveal himself to you. Now, it's not going to be the same way as he does to me. Why? Because I'm Tim and you who you are. We have different situations, different lifestyles. We live in different places. We have different situations and circumstances. But it's the same God who has all the answers. So it doesn't matter if my problem is different from yours. We still can go to the same place and get a solution for our problem. That's who God is. And that's who God is revealing himself to be in us.
Amen.
Now, he's saying, 28 verse, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that's not talking about sins here. It's not talking about guilt. It's not talking to our conscience. But Christ is talking about service here. We're to serve God. God is trying to deliver his rest unto us. We'll get into what that rest is. But it's to come unto him all who are working. Come unto him all who are serving. Not to repentance, but to learning. Once again, he's talking about studying this morning. We are to learn about him. Okay? And more important, we're to learn by him. We're going to get into the difference between learning about him and learning by him. Okay? But we are to learn about him as far as our ministry goes. There's a place of rest that God is trying to get us to so that in other words, look at it this way. Now, Jesus has just been rejected by his people. And I know it hurt him. It hurt. Beginning to cry and talk about that he would like to gather the people together as a hen gathers the chicks. Okay? It hurt him. But yet he did not allow that to stop him from ministering.
Right, that's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's what he's talking about. Come that labor. Come that are heavy and burdened down with the things of life. Learn about me. Learn what I did because, I went through it and I can lead you through it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I will give you a rest where you can still function in spite of what burdens are put upon you. A lot of folks are dealing with family members that they have to take care of. God's saying, I will put you in a position where in spite of the worry and things, that you will still be able to minister. You will still be able to rest. That rest is talking about laying down and not moving so that you can recover your strength.
Right.
Because you need it. I mean, the situations and circumstances that we deal with, we need a way to have our mind clear.
Thank you.
That's what the peace of God is talking about. See, in God is many things. We know about salvation. We know about the miracles. And we know about things. But we also need peace of mind. And we also need to be able to rest so that these things don't take us out. Because a lot of times, you know, pastor says, people are assigned to you. Well, he's nice. I'm not so nice. I say people will assign themselves to you. They'll assign themselves to you to mess with you, to pick with you, to get on your last nerve. They're trying to test that God that they're hearing about that you proclaim. They're testing it. They're putting it under pressure to see if that God is going to be still what it's supposed to be. And you got to be able to put up under that pressure. Jesus, he dealt with the pressure when they came unto him. The Pharisees call him a devil. Now he come to save them. They call him a devil. You got a demon in you. Here's God God from heaven. And the creatures that he's making is, has insulted him. He could wave his hand and they wouldn't be existing anymore. But yet he held himself back. That's what God is talking about, that self-control and that rest, so that you can still minister to those who don't like you, who are despitefully using you. Come unto me that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That love, that word of means by. Learn by me. Learn by me. Allow Jesus to teach you through this word when you open it up and study it. Once again, Pastor Santa, a lot of word is going around. A lot of things is going out. And it sounds like gobbledygook. Because I get my Bible and I open it up and I go along with it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Folks was talking about red moons and all this kind of stuff and what it means. I'm like, what? First of all, a lot of what they're doing is they're mixing dispensations. They're mixing the Old Testament, and God erased the blackboard on the Old Testament and brought it to the New and tried to teach it. That causes confusion. We're not back there anymore. We're in the New. You got to keep up where God is. That's one of the things about following God. When he's talking about, I'm beholden unto him, I'm beholden unto him to go where he wants me to go. And not pick on my own self. Now, when we learn about Christ, it's not for competition. It's not to brag and to boast. Pastor Rutherford and I were talking about the things of God. And we were talking about, it's not so that we, you know some stuff, but it's not so that we can brag and boast and say how much we know. Or we're going to compare ourselves. Speaking of myself, these two, Pastor Gardner and Pastor Rutherford, they've been in the ministry longer than I have. So they know a little more. The knowledge that I get is not to compete with them. You can't catch up. I can't catch up with them. As far as the knowledge, you can't catch up. But what God will do, if I listen to him and follow his instructions, I can encourage them in spite of me being younger than them in the ministry. All right. Because God is unlimited, and all I've got to do is follow him. Okay, and not only them I can get knowledge from, I can get knowledge from anyone in here. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. He can use anyone. But you've got to keep yourself in a mindset where God is able to use anyone. See, if you got an old mindset, you can, well, the only goodness can come from select one. The rest of y'all ain't got it. God is in everybody.
Amen.
God is in everybody. And we're supposed to be able to learn about that the same way. Now, we learn by God, once again, by his teaching. We take his yoke upon us because it's easy. One of the things is, let's read that again, 29th verse. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn by me, for I am meek. He said, I'm meek. That's one of the things he wants us to know about him. He's gentle. He's humble. Here's God himself come down here, who was a part of everything. And now he's limited himself to a human body. He's limited himself to the knowledge of that time. He didn't come down here with all the knowledge that he had when he was sitting by the Father. He limited himself so that he could deal with us. What he was doing was setting forth a pattern. He was the firstborn among many brothers. We're all his brothers. He was doing that. So he's saying he's meek, he's gentle, he's humble, and lowly in heart. We're to take that on. We're to take that nature and that character on of being meek and lowly in heart so that we can deal with people. What did they call Jesus? They called him the wine bearer. That's what we can't have nothing to do with him. All he does is hang out with the drunks and the sinners and the prostitutes. Jesus said, how can they get saved unless they hear somebody preach to them?
Amen.
See, we get it wrong. You know, you come out from among it. That don't you don't allow what they do to affect you.
Amen.
You still have to be in a position to help people, and you have to be around them.
Amen.
In order to give out this gospel that God has given unto us, that we've learned about. So we take the yoke upon us and learn by him, for he is meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. There's a place of God that you can find rest from your problem. Rest while you minister, because a lot of folks gonna make fun of you. They're on the job, they're in your home, they're gonna make fun of you. Talking about, here you come with that Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
Always talking about going to church, giving the preaching money. You, he riding in the Cadillac, what you ride on, you catching the bus.
Yeah.
You know, always making a criticism, once again, a rejection of the things of God based on circumstances, stuff that they see. So I see pastor riding in a Cadillac, that means I shouldn't go to church. Could it be that he's showing me an example of this is what God can do for you if you follow the plan?
Amen.
Pastor talks about tithing. You know, and people want to poo-poo it. Let me tell you something. God demonstrated it to me. Pastor Hart, and then I'm not going to go too far in the story, but Pastor, I was tithing with my father, but I was tithing differently. You have to obey the rules from the man or the woman of God in the house you're in.
Amen.
In other words, you can't do what you do in your own house and you coming to live in somebody else's house.
Right.
I'm tithing my own way like I did with my father. It didn't work. Started losing stuff. Get paid on Friday and Tuesday, where the money gone? I'm like, man, this man talking about holes in the bucket. So I had to repent and then follow out the way Pastor Hart laid it out. And God came to me and showed me, because you brought my tithes to the place where I told you to bring them, this is what I'm going to do for you. In other words, God will back up his word, his instruction, with further stuff. We got this. Logos. This is what we're supposed to read. But God will give you a further word, a rhema word, that will help you along, that's going to back this up when you obey it, to let you know that you're going on the right path.
Amen. Amen.
God says, I'm not the author of confusion. I don't want my people to be confused.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you instructions. And then when you do them, I'm going to back you up and tell you, just like your boss. Your boss tell you you're supposed to do this and that. And they come and find you doing this and that. They give you a pat on the back.
Amen.
Not further along the way, they're supposed to help you get a raise. They're supposed to.
Don't.
Stay right. Because you're dealing with men, not God. But we're to take his yoke upon us, learn by him. He's meek and lowly, and we will find rest. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're going to carry something.
All right. Amen.
In this life, you're going to carry something. Okay? But I found out through experience, by carrying what Jesus had, it kind of pushes off that other stuff. My burden is light. That is the will of God for us to have a place of rest. It's God's will. It's a fixed place in God.
Man.
And you have to find it. Now, Jesus has given it. You've got to find it.
Man.
You find it in the Word of God. I'm trying to slow it down a little bit so that we don't get, so I don't go too fast. Once again, my yoke is easy. What I'm giving you to carry is easy. It's not going to weigh you down. It's not going to weigh your mind down. It's not going to throw you in a state of depression. It's not going to cause you to want to flip out. It's not going to cause you to want to commit suicide. That burden that I'm giving you is light.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Galatians 6:9 says, let us be not weary in well-doing, for in a due season, in a proper season, we will reap if we don't faint. That's what the rest of God will do. It will cause us not to be weary as we do the will of God,
Amen.
As we do what he tells us to do. Pastor was talking about this morning, you know, in the workers' meeting. Let me tell you something. Working in the ministry, I love working in the ministry, but it's not easy. A lot of folks think because you get up here with the suit on and you got the microphone in your hand and they present themselves like they don't have a problem in the world. I wish it could be like that, but it's not. Ric Flair said it like this. To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Now this man I gotta beat, I don't have to beat up Pastor Relaford or Pastor Gardner or any of the ladies talking about men, period. But I've gotta beat this self up.
All right.
Okay? I've gotta wrestle this down and allow the burden that God has to carry that so that I'm not weighted down with problems and situations and circumstances that will tend to want to stop me from ministering. See, that's the whole point of it. It wants to stop me from ministering. It wants to stop me from telling about the goodness of God. It wants to put me in a position where I doubt God.
Amen.
So you take that yoke upon, and the burden is light. We don't become weary or faint because of the things that we go through. A lot of folks are fainting because of their conditions. A lot of folks are stopping the allowing situations and circumstances to stop their moving God. Once again, as we learn about him, it's not for competition, you know, or bragging. It's for sharing. Jesus shared all. He said, all things were delivered unto me, and he's delivering them unto us. Now, go with me to Psalms. Psalms 91st. Come on, give God some praise for doing something. Yeah.
Amen.
Once again, God has a place of protection for us. We have to find out where it is.
Amen.
Now, Psalms 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
That's right. That's right.
He that continues to sit down in the protective covering of the Most High shall stay permanently under the defense of the All-Sufficient One.
All right now.
God is the source. He's talking about here. He's the source. He's all sufficient, and he is the source and giver of grace. In other words, I need favor, the favor of God, to go through what I'm going through. Because a lot of times, let me tell you this too, a lot of times it's not other people that cause problems. Sometimes I cause my own problem, and I need the grace of God to get me out. I just tell you all the details, but I allow the situation and the circumstance to move me in fear, and it caused me a lot of trouble, and it caused me, let me just put this, I just got out of it this year.
Amen.
And the problem was caused years ago. God had to give me the grace to get out. Because I was allowed to move by my circumstances, I allowed myself to be moved by my circumstances and didn't listen to God. God was right there talking to me. So you can miss God. Right. Anybody can miss God. One of the most profound things my father told me was, you know, when we were coming up, he said, son, I miss God. I miss you. That let me know that anybody can make a mistake. We want to put people up on pedestals and things and look at them like they can't mess up or they can't make a mistake or everything is right with them. No, we all have a burden to bear and we all have a cross to bear, to carry. One mistake I thought was my father went through a lot of things in this ministry and I thought, hey, I'm not going to have to go through that because I suffered with him. No, you got your own cross to bear. Yeah, you may have gone through with him, and I brought the both of y'all up. Now it's your turn. He stood the test. Now it's your turn. How you gonna stand the test?
Amen. All right.
We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He's the possessor of heaven and earth, and he will bless us. He's the, let me tell you, Jesus walking, the king and the priest was presenting himself. That king and that priest is in us to bless us.
Amen. Amen.
So that's how we, why we supposed to stay in the shadow. Stay in the place. Stay in the room. Don't go out of the room. Don't go out of the house. A lot of times mom said, don't go out the house. She's going out, she's going shopping. Don't go out. What we do? We went out the house. It's raining outside. We get to run to the plant. You know, we got clean clothes on. Next thing we know, it starts raining. One of us slip in the mud. You can't hide. Clothes messed up. So what's going to happen? When mom get back, you can get busted. God tells us not to go out of the house. Don't allow your feelings and your intellect to move you out of the house. Man. Don't allow fear to move you out of the place of protection. Because there's a rest in there that God wants us to have. Second verse, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He's my shelter. He's my hope of getting out of problems.
Man.
He's my fortress. He's my tower. He's my castle. He's my strong place. He's my God, my creator. In him will I confide in. When I get in trouble, I start going to God. First of all, I give God praise. Okay? Praise God all day long. When I'm hurting, I praise God. When I don't feel good, I give God some praise.
Amen.
And I tell God I don't like the situation. Okay? You don't have to like the situation that you're in. But you do have to give God praise because he's the only one that's going to get you out. Sometimes I even complain. Until I figure God's tired of listening. Then I stop. One time, God gave me a picture of what he does when I'm complaining. And I saw a picture of him doing like this. Trying to hear that. So I stopped complaining so much. Okay? Let's keep it real. Stop complaining so much. Because situations, circumstances happen and they don't feel good. So we're to trust in God and confide in him, and it's that trust will cause you to be in a place without fear. So that you don't make those mistakes. You don't do those things that's going to cause harm to you. That place of rest. That place where you can still hear God in spite of all the trouble that's going on around you. Go to John. We're almost done. Go to the book of John, 14th chapter. John 14:1. Everybody have a say amen.
Amen.
He says, let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus talking. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Reason why he's telling them, he said, I am my, because Jesus is letting them know, I am the one telling you about my Father. I believe in my Father. So you believe in the Father. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart, the feelings, or your thoughts to shake you up. Believe in God and believe in me. That's what Jesus said. Believe in God and believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Or in the Father's family home are many rooms or many abiding places or realms.
All right, now. Now you teach it, my brother.
He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, if not, I would have told you that. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? He said, now I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's talking about the body of Christ. But in that body, in those realms, that's that place where you can find the rest that you need.
Amen.
Amen.
So that you can do do what you have to do. I'll tell you like this. Back in 2008, I was just finishing up my 8th year in the best job God ever gave. Trouble was on the way. I really didn't know it, but I had seemed like I had everything just right. Had my truck paid off. I'm getting ready to get me a new truck. Good Christmas vacation. I was like, yeah, you know what, Lord, I'm going to go look at this stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, today's the day. Go and look. Get to the place and start getting ready to get out the truck. And I had a check in my spirit. Got back in the truck. Went to work, and I was a painter for Macy's. We painted all the 22 stores at that time. Less now, because a couple of clothes, but I mean, I was a corporate printer, so I was making good money. And all of a sudden, I was packing my stuff up to go to Flint, and the boss called me in the office. We sat down, told me, yeah, don't go here. We got a meeting and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there with him, and it was one of those, can't think of it, one of them phones where you get the conference call. And it was one of the managers from, he was in Minneapolis. He was talking to people in New York, Detroit. And he said, we're going to do this budget cut, and under this budget cut, we're going to let go one painter, one electrician, and one carpenter. And I'm sitting there in my heart saying, get up from the meeting, now I'm turning in everything. He don't give you no time for what's that. You got to turn your stuff in right then and there. So you losing your job, you signing all kinds of papers, tears start running down my face. You're leaving everything. One of the first things I did, though, was it was a Friday when they did it. I came to the house of God to give God some prayer.
Amen. Amen.
It didn't feel good. Then you get the settlement and all of this stuff. You say, okay, well, you get this. Next thing you know, I had a situation where the lady who does my taxes wasn't there. Let one of the other ladies do it. She's trying to make a name for herself. She jacked my taxes up. So now you get your little settlement. Now you get a couple of days later, here comes the IRS saying that you just messed up and we get ready to take a chunk of that. So you go on. You're going through unemployment. No jobs here. You try to start your own stuff. Nothing's working. Still doing. You still got to minister. You still got to be able to hear from God. That's the rest that it's talking about. In spite of your problems, you still got to be able to hear from God.
Amen.
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 Money's dwindling. Still got to get up here and raise all.
Amen.
More ministry opened up because now God touched Pastor Gardner to have, we had a food program. Okay, you're not working. What you doing? You going to sit at home or you going to come up here and minister? You don't have nothing, but you trying to get some folks that don't have nothing when you need. Go through unemployment for 2 years and all of a sudden it runs out.
No more renewal.
What are you going to do? No money's coming in, no job, business failing, got to continue to minister, got to tell you to do what's right, found a place of rest, but now stuff is starting to pile up. Can't pay my bills like I want to pay them. Used to paying my bills, can't pay them. Then all of a sudden you get a new challenge. All of a sudden you start feeling sick. Now most of y'all know, y'all knew I was. And I just use Brother Sean as an example. I was as big as Brother Sean at one time. Y'all know that. You know that. I mean, it was some fat, but it was a lot of muscle because I was doing a lot of lifting the furniture. So I was bulk. Okay? I was strong enough to pick those pews up and turn them over, those long pews up on my imbalance. I'm that strong. But now all of a sudden you're losing weight. And it's like you're in a dream. You're seeing this weight just come off. Then you had to come up with the ridicule, because you know how that go when you start losing weight and you don't see no woman attached. You know that stigma. Y'all know. Yeah. It came up. Some folks said it.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's what I'm talking about. See, it's one thing to hear from folks in the street. I could care less what they say. But then here it is, my brothers and my sisters who I'm looking at every Sunday and I'm hugging on them. And this is what they think about me. Not knowing I'm in a fight for my life and I don't even know it yet. So we had one of those free seminars, Pastor, you know, Pastor, you gonna be in there. I know you don't come up going no doctor. You gonna be in that seminar. It's free. You getting checked out. So, okay, Pastor, I'm gonna be here. Come to find out my sugar level was it was almost 1,000 or something. So now I'm finding out that I'm diabetic and I don't have any money for medicine. What are you going to do? And I got home and I began to think about all the stuff that was happening to me. And it was like you looking at the drain in the bathtub and you just seeing all of the stuff starting to swirl and it going down.
Wow.
And I'm telling God, everything is, Lord, is going down the drain. Go to Colossians and I'm almost done. But even in the midst of my problems, I still learn by Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what helped me. Because like I said, I'm looking at this, my life is going down the drain. My health is going down the drain. And there's nothing I can do about it. And yet I still have to minister. And I have to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. But it doesn't seem to be any help for me. And then all of a sudden, I heard the word of the Lord say, Colossians 1:17, and he is before or in front of all things, and by him all things consist.
Yeah.
In other words, God was letting me, I'm in front of your problem, I'm with you, I'm in front of all situations, and your life, even though it looks like a shambles, it's still held together by me.
Amen.
All right. Amen. What it did was it stopped the spinning up here.
Yeah.
That's what the rest of God is talking about. It stopped the spinning up here so that I could still go. Now, I didn't like the situations. It wasn't no miracle for me to find no medicine. Okay? I still didn't have no medicine. I'm still having to go through. And like I said, if you know anything about diabetes, you don't want to, at least for me, I don't want to get up in the morning. Now, I used to hop to my feet like nobody's business. Now you want to lay there because you're sick to the stomach. You're nauseated all the time. You're weak. You're always going to the restroom, okay? You're scared to drink water because you're going to be running. Now that creates other problems because you can't drink water. Now you're tramping up because, you know, the body's steady trying to get that sugar out. That's why you're going to the restroom. You're trying to get that sugar out. Now you're cramping up and everything. Then on top of that, went to the doctor and I'm like, why am I having all these pain? Then the doctor told me, oh, by the way, your spinal cord, the vertebrae has shrunk up. So that's why you're having all that pain, because all of those things are pressing on. All of the vertebrae are pressing on the nerves. Now, I'm not telling you this to be sorry for, I'm just giving you an example of what life will do to you and yet how God is able to sustain you.
Amen.
He's able to give you the victory over these things. In other words, like I said, so you still keep pushing and you still keep fighting.
That's right. Amen.
Like that, it's like that cartoon, the pastor we like called the Herculoids. I don't know if y'all seen this, they old cartoon. Jono and Igu is a big giant rock ape. and Gleek, this little silly putty thing, they out there chopping wood, all of a sudden these aliens come and start wrapping them up, trying to capture them. Well, they're fighting them off, and all of a sudden they get tired. Dorno says, keep fighting. Keep fighting. All of a sudden they hear the noise. Here comes the rest of the family to help. Here comes God to help you,
man.
And when you keep fighting,
man.
How do you keep fighting? You fight by and through the word of God, because
man.
That's your victory. You can't fight in your own mind.
Man.
You can't even fight in your physical self. It was too weak to fight. But the word of God, he said, I am before all things, and by my power,
man.
All things are held together.
Man.
The same way I hold the solar system together so that it don't fly apart, I hold you together.
Man.
The way the galaxy spins in outer space, I hold you together. The way this is held together so that it don't fall apart, you are held together by my great power. I'm holding your mind. A lot of that mind which was in Christ Jesus also to be in you, even though he know he had to go to a cross, he was still able to minister. He was still able to love. He was still able to show mercy on the people. That's what the mind of God will do to you. That's what the rest of God will do to you. In places where people are leaving you, God is able to comfort you and sustain you so that you can make it. Come on and give God some praise. God is trying to get his people so that they can rest. Folks are stressed out. But you're not going to find anybody with a psychiatrist. Unfortunately, you're not going to even find it with these infomercials. You better find it in the word of God. You better learn by Jesus. You better let Jesus teach you in the midst of your circumstances. God will lead you and he will guide you. He will keep you out of. Let me tell you something. I told y'all the story about the time. Let me tell you something. God got myself in trouble with the with my as I was going with my driver's license. Driving illegal. Trying to sneak through Mount Clemens and all them. Every day. You talking about somebody praying?
Yeah.
Hoping you don't get pulled over. Hoping the car don't break down.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This particular day, the car started acting up. I said, Lord, let me make it past 8 miles. I want to get caught on that other side. I can talk to the Detroit boys, but the boys who roll over the rest of them, they ain't trying to hear that. They talking about next thing. Let me tell you what. I'm just telling you what happened. What Like I said, the thing, I just got God and blessed me, just got the job. God used Reverend Green to help me get a job. And but I got panicky again. Thought I set up direct deposit, didn't set it up right. I'm thinking I ain't no money. I'm fussing. God's telling me to calm down. And I'm riding. That was the last of my truck. It was on his last leg. But anyway, I'm going to work. Got to Metro Park and Mound Road and got to thinking about that, my situation, and took off from that light like a shot. Next thing I know, I see these lights. Get pulled over. Next thing you know, license registration, Mr. Keys, you know, your license is suspended. What? You had this ticket in Highland Park. I said, but I paid and I showed them. You're supposed, you know, your taillights cracked. Go repair the thing. They're supposed to tear the ticket up. Well, they didn't tear the ticket up. So now I'm sitting there. Next thing I know, I see this tow truck pulling up.
Oh.
I'm wondering what's going on. Mr. Keys, please step out of the car. Step out of the car. Next thing I know, I'm seeing it getting hooked up. I'm like, what's going on here? This and that, Mr. Keys. Now I'm stuck on 17 Mile and Mound Road looking stupid. because of the fear. I allowed, instead of driving under control, I allowed the fact that I thought I had messed up with my direct deposit. Check was there at the office waiting on me when I got there.
Wow.
Messed it up. Now let's get back to this last one, okay? So I got another car, so it's, you know, I'm messing up. Get out of roll over. All of a sudden the car stopped. I'm like, what's going on? No, I heard this popping sound. That's right. Pow, 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 blank, blank. What's this? Get up there, open the hood up, the car's still running. I'm not seeing that. I'm like, something going on here, but I don't see what it is. What it happened was the serpentine belt had broke. Thank God the car was still running. That was the first miracle God had gave me already. He didn't know about it. Okay, so I'm like, okay, it's still running. Let me get back in the car. Can't get in the car. Keys in the ignition. Car still running. Lock myself out. I'm going around the car and I'm like, oh Jesus, this don't make no sense. And lock myself out of the car. Worried about the cops and I can't even get back in the car. All of a sudden the Spirit of God has ways with different people. With me, a lot of times God will let me know things are going well when I'll start laughing. All of a sudden I start bubbling and I start laughing. I'm like, God, ain't nothing funny out here. So I said, okay, he must be, I said, but you know how he must be trying to show me something. Walk around the car. Walk around the car. Now look, I'm like, oh, that the window cracked.
Oh.
Wasn't enough to get in to what's the thing. So I got these tools that come Batman and work. I'm like a utility belt. Got some of them tools and crack that door open enough to get in that car, opened it up, and really started praising God. See, once again, God will lead you because, see, I was so caught up in my own circumstances that I couldn't see that the window was open. Now, it was only open a hair, enough for me to stick some tools in there and pry the thing open. But without the leading of the Spirit, I'd still be standing there. That's what God will do for you. God will meet you at the point of your need. When the thing really gets hardest, God is there able to show up the most. Come on and give God some praise. God will give you the ability to fight and keep on going when it looks bad. Let me tell you something. God has blessed me on the job. I thought they was going to fire me. Next thing I know, a couple years later down the line, I'm employee of the month. I'm like, Lord, what changed? I'm still doing the same stuff I was doing before. But God has a way of getting in things and changing things where you can't see it. That's why he's the all-seeing one. That's why he's Alpha and Omega. That's why he's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He'll put you in front, not the back. He'll make you the head, not the tail. He'll put you on top and you won't be on the bottom. He's able to lift you up. He's able to bless you and keep you when others set themselves to destroy you, because he is the mighty Jehovah. He got all power in his hand. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, I want you to come down front. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. God is trying to get his people to rest. To rest. The same way Jesus laid his head down when he was in the boat. The storms came. He was asleep. He wasn't worried about nothing. He was able to rest in God. Then God wants his people to be able to do the same. Oh, I want to give God some praise. All right.